personal questions, but I would like to ask one. If you like, you can answer. You are very witty, no?
Very what?
Witty, witty.
Witty?
Yeah.
Witty as in funny?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know.
because many marks are left on Quora regarding that, and some of them are in these calls as well. I don't know how much spirituality is going here, engraved here.
Oh, yeah, yeah, no. Yeah, Cura is, you know, like I said, Cura is a lot of curiosity and a lot of people who are rudderless boats, and they're just kind of bouncing about on whatever might be bouncing about. So those that are serious, you know, there are a few who will, you know, understand and be able to get it, basically, you know, because a lot of folks on Cura, they talk about twin flames and just so many body-based concepts. And, you know, the answer is just the truth. You're formless. All the body-based existence, body-based experience is untrue because you're not a form. That's the end. That's it. Everybody can go home now because any experience that you're having in this form-based existence is not true. So you don't disturb your mind with it. You do your job, you do your duties, you do what's right in front of you, but you know, you're formless. None of this has to be worried about. None of this is any concern. Just like in a dream, none of it is any concern. You may move about in a dream and go on, you know, adventures in a dream and do all sorts of things, but you know, you wake up. Well, this body-based existence is a long dream, and as long as you're utilizing this body to know yourself and to know so many things, then enjoy. But in reality, none of it is happening. Nothing's true and nothing's false. And so you don't get concerned in the world that is not. The only time you get concerned in the world is when you have a local identification that I'm a body. And then you have a body which can acquire concepts, as Maharaj talks about sticky concepts. Sticky concepts are all those concepts that stick because you believe you're a body. So then you can have Kundalini. Then you can have Brahman, Atman, Paramatman. Then you can discuss the causal bodies. You can discuss how the creation that was not created was created. You can have all sorts of theories. You can have Advaita and Dvaita and saints and sinners and hell and heaven. Because as long as you're clicking with a body and you say, I, you believe that these body-based illusory appearances are true. You imbibe them. You say, oh, because I'm a body, I'm experiencing these things. And then you worry about your death. Well, when this body dies, what happens to me? Well, you're formless. Nothing happens to you. It's happening to you right now. The illusion of experience created by the concept I am a body is absolutely false. And yet, you know, if you believe you're a body, then religion applies. And you know, health applies and worry about virus applies. And all of these twin flame and Brahman and whether you're offending God and all these sort of nonsensical things that are believed in because you believe yourself to be a separate individual, they apply. They, of course, don't apply, but your mind starts to identify that you're somebody that something can happen to. And therefore, you'll have fear. Because you're formless. And like Nisargadatta Maharaj says about something, if you pick up something and it's not yours, you'll kind of hide, you'll kind of feel not good about having this thing that's not yours. Well, this body's not yours. And if you start to pretend it's yours, then it will cause a lot of issues and a lot of problems. Hopefully then you'll create the illusion of I'm a spiritual guy on a, or woman on a spiritual journey to find the self and be at peace and be in presence and all of the other nonsensical illusory things that are not true. But if you believe yourself, you're a body, then this is how Ramana Maharshi has talked about. You remove the thorn, of the body-based existence by saying, I'm formless, and then throw both thorns away. Or you can sit there and say, okay, now I've had the body-based experience of enlightenment. even though that's a false concept brought about by being a body, which you are not. Spend time with you. Otherwise, debating, reading, all these sort of things, it's a total, complete waste of your time. Total. That's why Maharaj always says, it's the meditation, mantra. And unless you spend time with yourself, you're going to believe when a guru comes and says, you know, Om Namah Shivaya and all of these sort of things. No, this is body-based concepts within the illusion. It's not true. Lay your hands on someone's head and give a Shakti pat, but you're not a body. So who's this Shakti pat? Where is that coming from? And I'm not trying to be rude, but you asked, you said, okay. And yes, so many concepts. And we can debate the concepts all day long as we dive into the illusion of being a body form. Then we can say, oh, but you know, Ramana Maharshi was a great saint. No, Ramana Maharshi was in your long dream due to the fact that you believed yourself to be a body. Ramana Maharshi was the presence that knew itself was not a body. But now we all say, oh, what a great saint Ramana Maharshi was, because we believe that we're within this dream and that this is a great saint within the dream. Just like if you had a dream tonight and you created a great saint and that saint told you within your dream, oh, you're dreaming. Tomorrow you're going to wake up and you won't remember any of this. And yet tonight we'll walk around Arunachala 450 times and sing chants and feel peace and heaven. But you see, you're not a body and none of that is actually happening. Nothing. You're formless. And then you can't even say, see, we say formless so many times that that then becomes a concept, because formless is without attributes. So formless is not, because, you know, and I was talking about this on Cura today, actually. We don't want to make formless into a concept, because we, just like we say nothing, we say, oh, okay, nothing. And then nothing becomes a concept. But nothing is nothing. Nothing is the absence of attributes. So how can that be something? And yet, within this body-based illusion, we have a thing called communication, because these bodies are a voice box. So we communicate and we say, oh, nothing. Because we can't say what nothing is without using a word. But nothing is nothing. Just like a mirage is a mirage, but you can describe what a mirage is, but the mirage itself is false. So the description doesn't make it any more true. You believing yourself to be Rami on a spiritual journey doesn't make it any more true. That's it.
You don't entertain any concept.
Any. Well, of course not, because you have to. When did you come across concepts? When you came across with a body. You're not body. Yes. So therefore, you can discard all concepts. All body-based knowledge is illusion, because you're not a body. All body-based relations are illusion, because you're not a body. All body-based experience is illusion, because you're not a body. You discover you're not a body through meditation, and then you say, oh, so that I am that. And that's it. You're formless. You're the formless presence that's everywhere that can be felt through body form. And now you know yourself. You know yourself in a real sense. So that way, when this body is or is not, you know you are. So then it won't matter. So on your so-called deathbed, when this body can no longer sustain the essence and it dries up, then that's it. But you're not going anywhere, because you never were. You're formless. The space in the room never became any of the objects in the room. Therefore, if the objects in the room are set on fire, the space is unaffected. If at all you want to compare, compare yourself to sky or space. All concepts are blown away because all concepts came along with the body, which you are not. Maharaj would say, prior to beingness, were there any concepts of birth and death? No. After leaving body, there will be no concepts of birth and death. Now, many people within the form-based illusion will say, oh, well, you'll go to heaven and you'll sit on a cloud and play harps, but you're formless. So even if you go to heaven and sit on a cloud and play harps, it's not true.
John, have you ever heard the I don't know, they talk about someplace called Brahma Loka, which I think is simply another mind. Look what the mind has generated here. Why would it not create your mind, create a heaven? I don't know. It just, it's like there's a whole structure. I was listening to this stuff and it was like, I couldn't believe they had like all this fancy structure as to what happens. But it all depends on if you, at death, you still think you are a body, then there's like a body-based realm. and I don't know about that. You know, it's like,
there's no body-based realm right now.
Yeah, that's true. Although we think, it's a dream, okay? But there could be another level of dreams. I don't know. It's kind of, these people that have after-death experiences, you know, near-death experience, NDEs, I call it, and they come back and say, oh, yeah, there really is a heaven and all that. And it's because they are projecting it. It's a mental project, just the same way the world is. So that could be a possibility that if you're already identified with the mind, you know, so that's why it's important to shift the identification. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, you'll stop imagining once you know you're not a body.
Yeah.
You know, and the same consciousness that creates the dream creates the waking state. And then you believe you're an object within the dream, just like you do at nighttime when you're dreaming, you believe you're one of the dream characters. So now you believe you have a body in the dream world, but neither's true. I mean, it's just not true. There's no faculty of knowing other than this dream-based experience, which we call the waking state, and you continuously cycle through these three states, waking, dream, and deep sleep. And yet, those are the cycles of the body. You're not actually going through any of that. You don't know yourself because there's nothing other than you to know. Only within the illusion of the body-based existence can there be something other to know. It's like your presence reflects off of these dead objects and creates a world, creates an experience. It's not true. And yeah, when we talk about body-based existence, there are so many concepts, so many spiritual teaching. I mean, you could fill all of Maryland with the books that have been written about spirituality, and you could take 400 lifetimes to read and digest any of that. But it's all useless. It's useless. We chop down trees and write our thoughts because we believe ourselves to be body and that they're important thoughts. We believe that spirituality is important because we believe ourselves to be a body and we desire freedom. But there is always freedom. The only bondage is the wrong perception that you're a body, which you are not. Very simple. So simple. Every concept. That's why they said, like, Nisargadatta Maharaj was able to answer people no matter how learned they were. Because they would say, oh, yeah, these are great Brahmins and priests and all this, because he just knew himself in a real sense. You can come before and say, oh, this is that, and there's a heaven, and then we have this realm of heaven, and these people have actually experienced this realm of heaven. But he knows it's all in your dream. And it's not true. You can pretend. You can really pretend all you want. As a matter of fact, you can hope on when this body is losing its essence, you could sit there and hope among all hopes that there's something afterwards, but you're not an individual. So to think that the individual that is not somehow sustains itself after returning to the whole, which is a concept, is just not true. Like Maharaj says, the religion provides happiness while you're in the body-based existence.
And the concept of reincarnation and karma, there might be karma, but it doesn't apply to an individual. It just is just energy that attaches itself to something. And not necessarily, if there's no person, there can't be any.
See, all of that is just concept too.
Yeah.
Because you're like sky. Maharaj always points to sky. And he will talk about, does India sky separate from American sky, separate from Russia sky? No, only the body-based experience that says, this is Russia sky, this is America sky. But sky is sky. Sky is everywhere and doesn't know it's sky. Your presence does not know I am presence, and then suddenly clicks with body and you know you are. But then you believe yourself to be this object which you've clicked with, and for the first time are experiencing yourself, it's not true. It's just not true. And you know, you can discover this right now. It's not like, you know, like Maharaj says, the spiritual books, the spiritual guides, and the spiritual teachers point you to this absolute truth. But you must discover this. And he talks about spontaneous conviction. Spontaneous conviction is presence remaining with presence, using the body as an instrument to know yourself in a real sense. And that's it. It clicks. Oh, so that I. That's it. And then the understanding, all the understanding that you've ever heard of all your spirituality, of all your whole spiritual journey, where instantaneously that knowledge will take root and explode. And it'll be known. It was all just for here. Maharaj uses the example of, you don't know where the ashram is. You don't know where you are. You don't know yourself. So you don't know this ashram. You don't know yourself. You have directions to the ashram. Once you're at the ashram, you no longer need direction because you're here. So once you remain with your selfless self, all of these body-based illusory spirituality, Ramana Maharshi, Nisargadatta Maharaj, Jesus, Buddha, all these guys, they were the directions to bring you to yourself. Now you're here. You no longer need the directions. You're here.
Yeah, Ramana Maharshi once asked somebody how they got there to his, you know, in his presence. And they said, well, I took a train and I took a boat. And he says, well, where are all those things now?
Yeah.
It's the same point, yeah.
Exactly. And I heard go ahead.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, please.
No, I was just going to say that we're asked also to be devotion, like even after realization, after that, basically, boom, that's it. It's like devotion to the master for. It's like, that's what the Siddha Ramesh would really stress, I think. That's all you really have to do is be devoted in Thanksgiving.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, once you know the reality, you know yourself in a real sense, you start to really get it that, oh my God, that I am appeared in the form of Sri Ramakant Maharaj to tell that I am, that I'm not John. You see that John and Maharaj, Sri Ramakant Maharaj, the form, and John, the form, are formless and one and the same. And so now you must bow down to the formless master in the form of Sri Ramakant Maharaj, because that wasn't Sri Ramakant Maharaj. That was the formless reality who told you the formless reality. Listen, Andrew, you're not Andrew. You're just like me. And that's why Maharaj uses the example of the lion, who the lion is raised with goats and sheep, meaning you're raised with the people mom, dad, society, blah, blah, blah. And now you've been raised with the goats and sheep. Maharaj, the lion, comes and you look in the reflection, reflection meaning the presence to presence, recognition in the projection. And he says, no, 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 you're not a goat and sheep. Look, you're a lion like me. And so Maharaj says, you understand, your presence, like I am presence. We are one and the same. So discard this Andrew, who's a goat and sheep, and roar like the lion that you are.
So in devotion, you're sort of like ignoring what your body and mind are telling you.
Devotion is devotion to presence. While you're still believing yourself to be a body, you worship the presence. The presence is the master. As presence remains with presence, then the master is formlessly selfless self-devoting. You remain with your selfless self.
There wouldn't be any devotion, though, without a body, would there?
You're speaking about, I'm not clear.
I mean, when you sense that you are greater than your body and mind.
Then the body and mind and all the illusory world dissolves in spontaneously.
Right. So
because you know, well, the devotion that
you're as an act of devotion. I don't know, maybe I'm missing something, but if it's
devotion
an
devotion is spontaneously remaining with selfless self, the sense of presence with presence, presence with presence, reflection, the recognition and the projection, and continuous just then you are presence. You no longer really have to remain with presence. You sense presence through the body form. And you're devoted. Like I've explained devotion, the bowing before the masters. Every morning I wake up because the masters are right there by my bed. I wake up and I Raja Diraj, Satguru Nath, Sri Gurlinga Maharaj Kijay, all the way through to Maharaj Ramakant Maharaj Kijay. I put my head on the pillow at night. This is all spontaneous devotion. And because it's a devotional atmosphere, because you know you're formless. So you're just constantly devoted to your selfless self.
Okay, so it's not the body mind that's devoted, it's a selfless self that's devoted to itself.
Yes, that's why Maharaj says, when you're bowing to me, you're not bowing to Sri Ramakant Maharaj, you're bowing to your selfless self. That's why in this book, Selfless Self, he talks about the foreigners who come to the ashram and don't bow to him and don't bow to even Nisargadatta Maharaj or Siddharameshwara Maharaj. If you believe yourself to be a body, then you most certainly should bow to those body-based saints because they are great saints. Once you understand yourself, you'll bow down spontaneously. You'll no longer have that egoistic thing of, oh, who's Maharaj, why I should bow to this guy, or I don't like that, or I'm from the West, I don't bow. Because you're still a body-based egoistic thing. And you're not a thing, you're formless. But while you're believing that you're an egoistic body-based thing that was born from the West, coming to see an India guru, then, you know, you're lost in the illusion.
So you no longer need a concept of being devoted, or you don't need a concept of it just happens spontaneously.
It happens spontaneously because you remain with your selfless self. And you know, they talk about God being a jealous God, so you don't let your attention go and wander all over the whole creation. You do your job, do your duties, but it's a dream world. It's not true. If you're sitting there watching television and you say, oh, I don't like the president, no, I don't like the Congress, no, I don't like this, and oh, this poor coronavirus, oh, it's so terrible, then you're in the body-based illusion. And immediately, it means you're not remaining with your selfless self. If you're remaining with your selfless self, you should be able to see whatever on the screen of the television because you know it's absolutely not true. I'm not body. If the world is troubling you, it's because you believe you're a form. So, to remove this belief, you remain with your selfless self. Anytime you're troubled, you have to have an experiencer created. I'm this body form and I don't like what's happening around me, which is nonsense, but as long as you believe it to be true, it's going to bother your mind. You're going to flow along with the thoughts. But you're not body, you're formless. So every thought you have is not true. All of the figuring it out is a waste of your time. There's nothing to figure out because none of it's true. So now, this is why Maharaj says we have practical spirituality. You take one step, the master takes the next step. Because in your daily existence, you do your job, do your duties, and remain with your selfless self. If someone comes in and says, you know what, Keith, I don't like you one bit. Okay. This is a body-based illusory experience, and he's talking about Keith, who I'm not. As a matter of fact, the most funny thing is, I know it's my own self in the form of whoever this is that says they don't like Keith. I'm not Keith, and I'm not this other form. So I don't let this bother me.
Sir, you constantly point out to the presence. So it can be felt okay while doing the mantra.
Oh yeah, definitely. I mean, you can, if you connect with the body and use the body as an instrument to know yourself in a real sense, easily you feel presence in any time.
Then where is this presence in the deep sleep? Or even like, you know, in the waking state also at one moment, it happens that, you know, you don't know the presence, you don't know mind, anything. Where is this?
Yeah, there's no sense of existence. As soon as you have the sense of I exist, then that creates the dualistic experience of I exist. In deep sleep, there's no knowing of your existence.
Okay. So, okay, in a waking state, so you say it's a pointer, but it's not ultimate.
Well, again, you're outside of all these states because these states are only through the body-based illusion. You're not experiencing any states because there's nothing except your selfless self. That's why Maharaj says, except your selfless self, there's no God, no Brahman, no Paramatman, no master, no disciple, nothing is there. And nothing is not the concept of nothing. Nothing is the absence of everything.
So there's no existence involved then?
There is no existence of any kind.
Only the reality, I mean, like Brahman or Parabrahman exists, but there's no... Is that true? I mean,
it's not
there is...
Again, we're in the body-based illusory, you know, for the...
Existence reality. Is also in a body-based illusion, right? Existence, just the idea of existence itself. Is
in the body-based illusion, yes.
Yeah.
Because that's why Maharaj says, spirit clicked with the body and you say I. Or that presence clicked with the body and you say I. And then he says, presence doesn't know I am presence. Spirit doesn't know I'm in spirit. Just like water doesn't know I am water. Or earth doesn't know I'm earth.
Right. There,
yeah. Only the knowingness is within the body-based illusion because there's objects for this to know something other. But all of this takes place within this bubble of illusion.
Right.
The reality is unchanging. If it changed, it couldn't be reality. Prior to this experience of I exist, there was you there, which existed, but had no knowledge of existence. And when this existence, the knowledge of existence is no more, you'll very much be there, but there will be no knowledge of this existence. With the knowledge of existence came so many things.
Like the light shining in the darkness, you don't know it's there, but if you put your hand in front of it, you reflect it, so you see it. You remove the hand, the body, and it's there, but you will not know it.
Yes.
Yeah. It's total.
And you discover this for yourself.
You know, what you just said is completely total. It's just it. I mean, basically, I guess it's absorbing that. sort of meditation, contemplation, discrimination, discriminating what's real, what's not real. You know, Siddhartha Maestro says, if you look at everything and trace it back to where its origin is, it's dust, and it'll end up in dust. And reminded me of Ash Wednesday when, you know, Catholics, they celebrate Ash Wednesday. I don't know what other religion, but this, you go and you get ashes on your forehead, and they would tell you, remember, O man, from dust you came, to dust you shall return.
But isn't even the idea of heaven and hell is a continuation of the body based? Because, you know, if there is no body, then you don't have to worry about those things. Because
correct. That's the key. You have to know this and imbibe this. Because once you know you're not a body, and that the body-based experience, all this illusion is just nothing, then who's continuing? And why worry about the continuance of that which is not, and that that never was? And how much peace that brings, because you're not trying to protect this illusory thing. And you see, the egoistic sense of self wants to continue forever, but it's not true. And then it creates these all these illusions of, oh, when this thing that is not true dies, which is also not true, then it goes to this other illusory place and continues. But it's not. The unborn child, as Maharaj says, that cuts you right to the beginning. All of this is talking about the unborn child. When the unborn child dies, does it go to heaven or hell? But there's no birth, so how can it die? So the concept of death is automatically erased because it's unborn. So if you're not born, you can't die. So you don't have to worry about what happens to you after you die because you weren't born. So,
you know, the church once had, the Catholic Church had this thing about something called limbo. And if you had a baby and the baby died before you got baptized, it would be in this state of limbo, which was terrible. I mean, you know, there's just been some really amazing stuff that has been, you know, put out there. I mean,
various conceptual understanding. Even a lot of the great saints with the conceptual understanding of, you know, like Maharaj says, everyone describes this differently. They describe this nothing in different ways to try and get people to understand that you are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain body. Well, then a lot of the time there's concepts of how you are not body. But if you're not a body, then all of the body knowledge is untrue because it came with the body that you are not. All the body-based concepts are untrue because they came along with the body and you're not body. But once you start to go down that rabbit hole, you start like Maharaj talks about, you know, the causal body and the great causal body. Because we're labeling nothing. But you can label a wall, and in reality, and Siddhartha Maestro Maharaj says this, the wall is mud and water and cement and such, but we call it wall. So these things come together and we call it a wall, but it's not a wall. It's just a bunch of five elementals together that is put there, and we now create this new thing called a wall, or beads on a necklace. The beads and a rope is just beads and a rope. But when we put them together, it's no longer beads and a rope. It's a necklace or a garland, like around Sri Ramakant Maharaj right there. We put flowers and a rope and we put it together and we call it a garland. We create something out of these other things. So we sit there and we have this body-based existence and we try to explain this body-based existence from the position of being a body, but you're not body. So there's no need to explain something that is not.
Wow. So man, the world is conceptual projection. All these are just words, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for me, the teachings are very, very clear, John. It's just that, you know, I just don't have the experience. It's just that I hit the wall, that's all. I don't know when that experience will come. I can clearly understand like what you say or what Nisargadatta Maharaj writes are what Sri Ramakant Maharaj says. It's the same thing. It's just it's a different flavor. That's all. It's the same thing. Yeah. It's just only when I can have that experience. That's what I'm like waiting for. But I know there's no experience because there's no one to see it, to experience it. But it's just, you know, to be absolutely sure that inner thing is
come up.
Yeah. Spontaneous conviction, exactly. And that's through the daily experience. When we have our daily experience in the body-based illusion, but we believe we're bodies having experiences, then this is impressed through mind and further concepts are then born. But when you know you're formless, even though you're going through this daily body-based existence, then it stops impressing. And mind just stops giving you thought because there's nothing. Like, what is there to think about? You're no longer involved in the world. You're totally separate. You don't have any kind of dog in the fight we talked about last week. If there's no dog in the fight, or like we talked about too, it's the same if you go to a football game and it's your favorite team. You're very involved in the team. You're involved in the score. You're involved with all the players. You're looking and you're really hoping your team wins. Or you go to a football game with a friend who had free tickets and you don't even know this team. And you sit, you have totally different experience because now you have no dog in the fight. When you believe yourself to be a body and that you're experiencing, then you have a dog in the fight that needs protecting. But when you absolutely know this body is neighbor's child, it has nothing to do with myself. And now through my daily activities, I'm impressing this practical spirituality. I am not body. I was not body. I'm not going to remain the body. The illusory concepts begin to dissolve because I'm no longer birthing them with new concepts about body-based existence, which I absolutely know is untrue. So then this thought flow ceases. And presence reflecting with presence, this Maharaj talks about the nectar of immortality, the spiritual intoxication. You don't want anything other than your selfless self. And you just remain and remain and remain. And you see that you can do your job, do your duties. And mantra should be running all the time because now you're listening to mantra running naturally without there being someone doing mantra. And you just remain. And the more you remain with your selfless self, the more you don't want anything but that. And this will be that spontaneous conviction and that it erases the world instantaneously. It just clicks and boom, it erases the world. But you erase the world in an instant, but the steps leading up are slowly, silently, and permanently. When you leave this call tonight and you begin your day, or I don't know where, you're in India now or you're in US now? You're in US now, you said, yes?
India, yes.
Yes. Yes. So when you go to sleep, then you wake up tomorrow, you begin your day. As these appearances start to arise, whatever your daily duties are, you do your job, do your duties, but without taking the touch of doership because you're formless and you continue to impress this. In every moment that arises, you impress your formlessness and not these body-based illusory concepts. If you sit and listen to the news and they say, you know what? The coronavirus has gone crazy. 2 million people died last night. And you can sit there and say, I'm not body and I'm not disturbed. Or something says, oh, it's very great. We have a cure for this and everybody goes to get a vaccine. Okay, you go get your vaccine, but you're not disturbed because the entire world is illusion and the entire world appears on your spontaneous presence. You are not body, you were not body, you're not going to remain the body. This has to be impressed. Just like when you believed you were a body, it was hammered into you every day. All the body-based experiences are true. So now you begin and know, I am not body. That's why Maharaj says, when you leave the ashram, leave your mind, ego, intellect as a deposit. Because if you conceptually do that, then you say, okay, now I'm no longer able to use my mind, ego, intellect, because it rests in the Sheikh Ashram at Maharaj's feet. So now I have to live this life without mind, ego, intellect, because I gave it to my master. I can't take it back. And you start to see the fun.
Okay, Guru Dakshina. Sir, what do you see right now?
What do I see? I see the six little boxes on this screen in front of me.
What is real to you?
You have just nothing. I mean, there's no, what is there? You know, it's formless reality, presence, which you can still, no matter whether you are presence, you can sit and feel this body form in which is occurring within your own self and be selfless self-intoxication, be like bathing in a big bubble bath, basically, I guess, is a good, you know, there's nothing. You're sitting in your own selfless self. That's the reality. And as the body dissolves, this is what you will perceive, that this body is like a little ice cube. You're putting it in the water and the body is just dissolving in. That's it. Or like Maharaj says, when you go to the ocean and you throw a glass of water into the ocean, where is the ocean and where is the glass of water? There's no, and yet they're speaking and listening, but there's nothing here that sits there and says that these are separate in any way, shape, or form. And in this, no one's separate because we're all just little boxes on this screen. We're without body. I'm looking at this image and that is not, it doesn't have body because it's a little box on a screen. You will be having scenes appear before you and then leave and appear and then leave. If I go downstairs and I walk outside of my house, a new scene is being seen, but the seer is not changing. The seer is the same seer that sees what we're doing here and will be the same seer that sees outside or get in the car. The scenes change, but the seer is not changing. Seer's formless. All of the scene is illusion because it's with form and can be seen. The seer is formless. And formless, we cannot say formless as a concept because we use formless so much. That's why Maharaj says selfless self. And even then people will say, so what is selfless self? Well, self without self. That's, but then we make that a concept, you see, because this identification with the body form and the body-based illusory existence, we want a label. We want something to grasp onto because we believe we're a form. But the truth is you're not a form. And everything you grasp onto, you have to use a local identification to hold on to something, but you're not a body. You have the use of this body and all the bodies, and then there will be no more use. And you are. That's prior to the experience that you exist, you were there. Otherwise, to whom would this experience I exist appear?
So this thought generating mind, which you say doesn't exist, of course,
came along with the body, which you are not. And Maharaj says that too. He says, remember, mind, ego, intellect, they're just instruments of the body. They're kind of Like battery is not included? Well, mind, ego, intellect is included with this body form. This body form, you have mind, ego, intellect, and the interpretation of this body-based existence from the perspective of being a body. That's why the mind is kind of useless, because the mind is giving you thought from the perspective of being a body, but you're not body. So once you know yourself in a real sense, then the mind will no longer be able to present ideas and thoughts to you about the body-based existence. It won't make any sense. It's like color TV and black and white. All these are body-based.
It'll always be there to try to, well, it won't be, it tries,
no,
it spoils the whole thing anyway.
You will remain in your thoughtless state, the stateless state, as Sri Siddhameshwar Maharaj speaks about, the stateless state. There's no state. There's just scenes appearing and disappearing, no interaction of any kind with a timeline that you are living a life. You're formless, using form as an instrument in the moment to perform whatever duties may be needed to be done in that moment. But nothing's actually happening, so you don't have to pay so much attention to what's being done.
But the mind spoils it by turning it into its own self-generating system.
Oh, let the mind do what it wishes. You're not mind. Even you can clear that up really quick because you say, my mind. Okay, my mind, it's not you. So whatever this mind is putting images on the screen, you can ignore them. And Maharaj says, good thoughts, what thoughts to accept, what not thoughts to accept is up to you. So these images and thoughts appear on the screen of mind, you ignore them. Or if they're useful, like you say, oh, I have to take my medicine before I go to bed tonight. The doctor wanted me to take, you know, 2 pills a day or whatever, and now I need a bit. That's okay, that's using mind. But you're using mind, as Maharaj would say, like pickle, sparingly.
Yeah, because my mind will come in and say, well, now I'm feeling free.
Well, who's feeling free, though? And the only way you can feel free is within the body-based illusion. You're not body. So this feeling of freedom belongs to the mind, ego, intellect that's connected with the body, which you are not. So the feeling of freedom is only within the body-based existence. But you're prior to body-based existence. This body-based existence is untrue. So there's no freedom because there's no bondage. In order to have freedom, you have to have bondage. Well, the appearance of bondage came along with the illusory experience of being a body. Prior to being this, did you feel any bondage? I don't know. Okay, well, there's no bondage because prior to being this, in your true state, prior to all of this, you didn't have the concept of bondage. The concept of bondage came along with the body. When did you know about body? When you came along with the body, you came along with bondage. You came along with concepts. So throw all of it away because you're not body. Just all the time tell yourself, I'm not body. So that kills everything. You know, somebody says, oh, perform Siva service. Okay, that's good for those who believe they're on a spiritual journey and they're a body. But I'll just have spontaneous action because I'm not a body. I don't get any benefits for this body because I'm not a body. So if I start to go and try to acquire benefits for the body, then that means I believe I'm a body and I believe there can be benefits, but you're not a body.
Or you feel like you're, you know, what is the concept of punyas? You know, the whole idea of like good works, you know, it that's still body-based too, because
yeah,
doing a good works.
Yeah, I mean, it's nice because it'll calm your mind. You won't be harming others, because if you do harm to others, then you'll definitely have a concept of being a body that's harming or doing harm to others. Right. Like, I don't like this person, so I'm going to do bad things for them. But if you're believing that you're doing good things, then it erases the egoistic sense of doership, because like we talked about last week, you're giving all of it to God, or you're performing service all for God or all for Master. You're saying, Master, all the actions that I do are for you. I'm just the instrument that my master's using. That, again, is within the body-based illusion, but it's a good experience to have because you're giving all of this and you're not impressing more egoistic sense of doership. because you're turning over all your deeds to the master who's using your body as an instrument. That's why Maharaj all the time says, this is voice box. My master is speaking using this voice box. That's it. And then he says, without my master, I couldn't utter a single word, because he realizes that this is a puppet for my master to speak. It's the same in your body form too, but because you believe you're a body, you may not know that it's the master that's using you as an empty puppet. Kathleen is a skin puppet in which the master is speaking. But then Kathleen takes the egoistic sense of doership that Kathleen is speaking, and that these are thoughts being conveyed to someone else. But you are not body, you're formless. The formlessness is using form to all of this, move all of this and speak. We're all empty nothings.
Skin dolls.
Yeah, we're skin dolls.
No, I like the idea of the telescope, you know.
Yes, this is
true. You're just the instrument, and then the self is looking through it, because the telescope doesn't see anything. It's the, you know, who's behind it that sees the stars or whatever. But again,
just like the dream, you're seeing inside the dream, and it looks and appears very real. And you're seeing people, and you're interacting with people. And you have, like Maharaj says, the moon, the stars, the lights, the rivers, everything. But it's all untrue. But yet you're peering inside of it. And even you're identifying as an object within the dream as, I'm this little dream character. That's why I can see this dream. But you're video shooting the dream and seeing the dream without eyes and without actually using a body, which gives you the impression that all of this is occurring within the formless, we call it consciousness, bubble of illusion. And there are no eyes that are seeing inside, because inside is, there's no inside, no outside. And again, it's all illusion. We cut very, very hard, direct. That's why Maharaj says, this is direct knowledge. We're not roundabout walking around the mountain 100,000 times trying to contemplate. It's direct. You are not body. All of the body-based experience is untrue because you're not a body. All of the body-based knowledge is not true because you're not a body. Anything that you've acquired with this body is basically meaningless because you're not a body.
It's a good mantra. Nothing is true.
Exactly.
Nothing is real.
Yeah.
The Beatles said it all back then.
Exactly. Picture yourself in a boat on a river. You know.
Seeing it all with kaleidoscope eyes.
Indeed. Yeah. And anytime you start to get disturbed about anything, just remember, I'm not a body. These things that are happening in the body-based existence are not true. And the truth is, you will know, you'll release this stranglehold on the beingness. You'll release this stranglehold on the body-based existence, because you'll know you're not a body. And then you can use this body quite nicely, without ever being troubled by anything within the body-based existence, because you're not taking the touch of this illusory world. And then somebody can say, oh, this master or that master, but there's only one master, and that master is your formless, selfless self.
Okay, it's about 8:17.
Oh, yes, it is.
Okay, thank you very much. Very good.
Thank you.
Jai Guru, sir.
Jai Guru.
Okay, Jai.